Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. To my right, Ed Maher, National Coalition of Labor.
Good to be with you here today, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, even though you guys harassed me while I was gone.
Well, you got to be here to defend yourself.
You pretended I was golfing, and everybody knows I don't golf. Phil Davidson, speaking of golf, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. I'm just kidding, Phil.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, I like it. Why do you say that?
I don't know.
Because Ken's wearing an eye patch,
I'm wearing an eye patch today.
And we wish you could be here to see it.
Yeah, you can see it on TikTok. If Ashley would ever put up another TikTok, we could see it.
For purely cosmetic reasons as well.
No, because I can't see out of this eye, and something's going on with my eye, which is, I guess, why God gave you two eyes, right? What's the worst that can happen?
100 years ago, you lose your first one, and you don't even get to stay home from work.
Yeah, that's like a normal, people walking around with one arm, one eye.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Go to work.
A little bit of bad luck.
Can you drive with one eye legally or no?
That's a good question.
I think you can.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can. So let's talk about some news. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here's something that I found positive, and I'm going to say it. I have not been positive about the way Starbucks unions or the union itself has gone about trying to get this thing across the finish line or trying to get it done or just get any movement. But they finally said, you know what, that's it. We're going on strike. And so a bunch of stores went on strike. They just added 30 more stores to bring, I think, the total up to 90 stores that are actually physically on strike.
Yeah, they're actually out there doing it.
Yeah, good for them. And you know what? I'm not drinking Starbucks. I'm just going to boycott it until the strike is over. So it saved me a bunch of money.
Do you go somewhere else?
To be honest with you, I just haven't been drinking coffee, which is maybe why I'm so cranky.
Yeah. Well, there's other coffees other than Starbucks.
I know. I got to go.
You have a really nice coffee maker at your house.
I drink coffee in the morning, but I really enjoy having that,
afternoon coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway.
Any Chicago stores on strike?
Oh, there's one in Evanston.
Okay.
And there's one, I want to say, in Des Plaines or Dundee or something like that. It starts with a D. I can't remember which one. But quite frankly, I was surprised. Not as many as I thought. And I'm not sure why. And, I'm assuming that they know better, obviously, strategic planning. But here's what gave me a little bit of hope. And that is they went and they picketed I don't know what you call it, but the place that, pushes out the coffee. So the facility that makes it, I guess.
Yeah, the distribution center.
And it's the largest one in the country, and it's in York, Pennsylvania. And so they went and they picketed. And I guess they had a lot of people there. And guess what? I'm assuming Teamsters. Kudos to the Teamsters. The trucks did not cross the picket line.
Well, yeah, and people say Starbucks only has so many union stores, one out of 10 or whatever.
Right.
But if you do that, if you do an ambulatory picket at a distribution center, you can affect all of them.
All day, every day.
Yeah, I like that move.
And so finally, it's worth doing. Finally, I'm way to go, guys, right? And so we'll see what happens. But if you can actually, hurt the company economically, right? Exercise some economic power by shutting off the distribution. That's a game changer.
I want to see what Evanston looks like after a day of no Starbucks.
A bunch of angry Northwestern students.
Very, very angry.
Cranky Northwestern students. People, Northwestern students falling asleep at their desk. Yeah, I don't
shudder
know.
To think.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was cool. Kudos to them for doing it. In more local news, we have the Museum of Science and Industry.
Griffin Museum of Science and Industry.
Yeah, I hate calling it
that. That's like the Willis Tower, okay? Yeah, Let's just stick with Museum and of Science and Industry.
That's from Ken Griffin, right?
It is.
And he bailed. He moved out of Illinois.
He lost another election that he was paying for and took his ball and he ran down to Florida.
Yeah, it just seems like, first of all, Griffin and museum and science and industry seem to be a little oxymoronic.
Okay.
But in any case, these workers, they got their contract. And I think there were about 120 of them, Ed.
Something like
and
that.
I think they're AFSCME, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a Workers United thing, but I think they are under the umbrella of AFSCME.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if he's going to pull his name off the museum now that it's
because
union.
It's union?
Just as long as he doesn't get
withdrawing
a nickel
donation.
Of that money back.
Yeah, too late.
We already cashed that check.
Yeah, we already spent that money. Oh, that money? Oh, sorry. Sorry. What's his name? What's his first
Ken
name?
Griffin.
Ken Griffin. Sorry,
from
Ken.
Citadel.
That money's gone. And then Kickstarter, right? We had talked about Kickstarter once. Kickstarter is, you know, where people go and they chip in money and they crowdsource, like, hey, I want to make a movie, or I want to write a book, or I want to do something kind of cool and altruistic, or you know, help out a family. It's like almost like GoFundMe.
That's where Super Troopers 2 came from.
Is that right?
They made Super Troopers 2 on Kickstarter.
Right. I did not know that.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't very good.
Wasn't good?
Not as good as the first one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they, of course, also form a union with OPEIU, Office Professional, whatever it stands for. And those folks. And they had to go on strike.
These are the engineers at Kickstarter?
I think, yeah. Everybody that does, like, you know, the engineering, pushes out social media, like, all the behind-the-scenes work, and they had to go on strike for 40 days. 40 days. And here's Kickstarter, right? It's supposed to be, you know, once again, like a Trader Joe's or like a Whole Foods. You're supposed to be kind of progressive, like a Starbucks, and in their union busing.
Well, maybe what they're going to do is just start a Kickstarter to pay for their employees' wages.
That's not a bad idea.
That's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah, listen, we don't have any money, so we need you to actually pay your own wages.
Yeah, like, we don't pay for all this stuff. We just get other
Does
people to pay
I'm
for it.
Does that mean I'm supposed to spend more on the tip at the end of a Kickstarter campaign when they're always asking for money of, like, kick in an extra 10%?
Oh, you've actually done this to the end, huh?
Occasionally.
I have.
Depends.
I do.
If it helps keep their people paid,
I don't,
well,
you know,
I don't know.
I think it's a situation where if you don't, the, you know, 95% of the money goes towards your cause and then the rest of it goes towards whatever administration. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But if you give the tip or something like that, then more of your money goes towards whatever cause it is that you're supporting.
What if you don't donate but you give just the tip?
You're just going to give the tip?
Just the tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about that. I guess it's possible.
It's possible.
I bet you have thought about it, Phil.
Yeah.
Success rate's greater than 50%.
Anyway, we have a massive show today. We're gonna drill down on something that we talked about on Worker Wednesday, and that is the PAWA, Protect America's Workers Act, or whatever it's called. We're gonna talk about that. There's always these goofy names.
We're going to do a deep dive starting with what it's called.
Between now and the commercial, we're going to look up the actual name of
it. That's right.
But, you know, we'll talk about that and why it's important. You know, you guys kind of did that dive last week into some of those anti-union bills. This is a pro-union bill.
Right.
And then we have Dr. Dave Fabry, mm-hmm. I think is how you say his name, from Starkey, who is sort of the conglomerate over Start Hearing, which is our partner for hearing aids and hearing protection, and like all the just cool stuff that they're doing. American-made company right here in the United States. So we're stoked to have him, and it's going to be really interesting because especially you guys in the building trades and cops and musicians, you know, be careful, you know, and listen up, no pun intended, to Dr. Dave. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the NCL. So there is a bill pending right now that just reached a threshold of 218 signatures in the House. Right? House of Representatives.
The discharge petition.
And it's called a discharge petition. You know how we know about that so much right now?
From the Epstein files.
Exactly right.
It's funny that there are more discharge petitions because legislation just doesn't seem to move. So these technical moves to try to overpower the Speaker of the House and force legislation are just, this is the way that things are going to get done now, maybe.
I guess. And it's not particularly seems like a hassle.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like with the Epstein, like they were hovering around just a magic number, and then everybody realized that everybody was going to cave anyway. So Trump's like, right. You should just sign that thing. And like,
yeah.
So it was like 434-1. Who's the one that did
it? It's one guy in Louisiana he's a massive conspiracy theorist.
So he just said no?
I don't know why you would want to be the one no vote on
same,
that.
Same, same. So flying under the radar, as John Hansen said on Wednesday, is a bill called Protect America's Workforce Act. Okay. Mm-hmm. PAWA. Anyway, it was bipartisan. Democrat from Maine, I think Golden is his name, and then
Jared Golden, yeah.
Fitzpatrick from
New York.
Pennsylvania.
Oh.
So they just reached 218 votes, and the last couple of votes were Republicans. And so, you know, that's a really positive thing. So now it's going to go hit the floor of the House, and they're going to have to take a vote on it. And
what does it do?
What it does is it seeks to undo Trump's executive orders on getting rid of collective bargaining for federal employees.
All right. So all the workers who, under the guise of national security, had their union rights taken away from them.
And under the guise of just, because I want you to go away and not have a union anymore. Yeah.
Well, the official reason that he gave was national security. I think that's been...
Do any federal workers have collective bargaining anymore, or was it...
I think there's, yeah, some are still okay. left, like the one that came in here, the
IFPT.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm.
And there are some that still do, but, you know, like, taking away from TSA, like, that's not national security.
Right.
And by the way, they made that argument when TSA was formed back in the day. They didn't want them to have a union, right?
I remember that, yeah.
Ridiculous. You know, the morale is just abysmal right now, and, you know, who knows what they're going to do with the traffic. Anyway, what it does is it seeks to undo these executive orders, right? Not okay. through the courts anymore, but here, let's just wipe them all out in one fell swoop. Simultaneously, it affirms that any contract that existed on March 25th of this year, so about 6 months ago when these things started, would remain in full force and effect. So the day before he signed his first executive order, that's what it does. It's described as restoring union rights for over 1 million civil servants, according to union and legislative statements. Now, that sounds great, right? Sounds like a good thing. Yes?
Yeah.
No?
Phil? I mean, we're just giving...
How does Mike Johnson feel about it?
I haven't asked him.
Okay.
Even he doesn't know, Phil.
Okay.
Yeah. But
that would be my concern.
I will find out for you.
Okay.
Okay. Mike, if you're listening, just you know, call
text
it
me.
Or yeah, just text me like you normally do. So we're going to find out how people feel about it, right? Because they got enough signatures to get to a vote, but that doesn't mean the vote goes swimmingly. Does that make sense to you?
Right.
Right? Just because you got enough signatures to go like, hey, let's put this to a vote. Now, you would think that given the fact that Trump is so underwater right now in terms of popularity, affordability issues right now are, you know, terrible.
The economy.
Economy is just not doing what everybody thinks, or at least what he's saying it's doing. Unemployment ticked up, even though this alleged jobs report. Because who even knows anymore?
Well, that was in September. The October numbers will never be released.
That's crazy.
And as we said last week, suppose
they lost a million jobs, and we just added 100. Does that mean that, you know, that we just added 100?
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, if that jobs report was good,
yeah,
they would release it
all day, every day. Ed, I absolutely agree with you. So the bill basically just restores the status quo. Okay, and.
Giving back what you stole.
Yeah. And why is that short-sighted, in my humble opinion? And here's why. Because federal workers, federal unions, cannot bargain over things like, oh, I don't know, wages, hours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they can't bargain over, like, really essential. And there's a bigger list. You can look it up. But they can't bargain over really essential items that make a union worth its weight in gold, right? Dollars and cents, your hours of work, your overtime, you know, family leave, whatever the case may be. And so when I rag a little bit on some of these federal unions for not having over 50% membership, you know, John Hansen on Wednesday made a point. He's like, you know, why pay for something that's toothless?
Right.
Right? And I don't disagree with him, but here's my question. If you're lobbying these two representatives, members of Congress, to, you know, introduce the POWA Act or whatever, right? Why wouldn't you go, you know, while we're doing that, let's fix some stuff that has been broken since, you know, the 19 whatever forever. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Like, why not just reach?
See, you know, see what we can get.
Like, why not just throw in, and now, by the way, you can also bargain over hours and wages and things like that. Like, why not? Because maybe then, look, if it was purely a Republican-sponsored bill, you know that they would hit hard and overreach. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And here, we have something that just, all we want to do is go back to the what we had, which wasn't that great to begin with, but please just let us go back to what we have so we continue to have less than 40% membership and, you know, start collecting dues again. You know, I just think it's endemic, to be blunt with you, as to why we can't get something stronger. And so, you know, now, like you guys talked about last week, you got these, you know, anti-union bills out there. Then you got Cory Booker and Josh Hawley getting together, proposing some pro-labor, you know, acts. And
the faster contract.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. And so, you know, is there a world in which everybody just gets together and has, I don't know, the labor caucus or whatever you want to call it? That could include bipartisan, right? Republicans, Democrats, like they did with infrastructure, right? That was completely bipartisan. And it's millions and millions of jobs for us. Why can't they do that with something like this? I'm asking you, Ed.
Well, I think I would imagine that
I don't
if
want to
they,
put you on the spot,
if
but
they
I'm
were,
asking you.
Well, if they were expanding, my thinking on this is the reason they didn't do it is to give back. There's an argument to be made for these people lost their rights.
Yes.
We have to give them back their rights.
Right.
People are like, okay, simple enough, fair enough. If you get to expanding, perhaps they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like,
don't overreach.
We got to have a debate, and like, what's that going to do? We got to study this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that's why they didn't. But I mean, I don't disagree with you. It'd be worth finding out what those 218 people are willing to do. And then, of course, it's got to go to a vote.
Yeah.
You know.
And now you know for a fact that it's going to get lobbied hard against. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the administration has shown its cards on how it feels towards any sort of expansion of union rights or collective bargaining
or
anything.
And now that Elon's back in the mix, he's back hanging out the White House.
Is he? Oh,
yeah, he's out of the woodshed. He was in the woodshed for a little while.
I didn't know that.
I imagine he will be a no on this.
What's he doing back?
I don't know. Trying to...
didn't he just get $1 trillion payday?
He did. $1 trillion payday. He was at that summit with... It was him...
MBS.
MBS, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who didn't kill the journalist, everyone.
No.
He and personally didn't kill
him. It's rude to think that he did, even though they found that he did it.
Well, he didn't do it, but he knew about it.
No, he didn't, Ken.
Oh, he didn't know about it?
No.
Oh.
No, of course not.
So we're okay. We're okay now hanging out with Saudis?
Better than okay.
Oh, and I guess we're giving them planes, too? Like
the best planes.
We'll take their planes.
Yeah, secret planes.
They're never getting to China, those planes.
Not a chance.
Unbelievable.
How are they going to get them there?
Wait, are they going to... By boat?
Yeah, I don't know. Look out. You don't move anything by boat these days, Ken.
That's a good point. So, anyway, you make good points, and we'll see what happens with this petition. But I wanted to just give everybody the opportunity to weigh in on this, and that is call your representative and call this number, 855-493-4407. I'm going to say it again, 855-493-4407. You'll be connected directly to your representative. They ask you what you type in your zip code or whatever and say vote yes on the Protect America's Workforce Act. I've already made the call. Something you could do. It's pretty easy. It takes 2 seconds, right? All right. So we're going to be back.
We've got Dave Fabry coming in from Start Hearing.
Yeah, I'm stoked to hear what he has to say. We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you.
It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit HingeHealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. As we stated, we're super stoked today to have Dr. Dave Fabry. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
From, now, is it Starkey or Start Hearing?
Well, Starkey is the only U.S.-based global manufacturer of hearing aids. We provide the hearing aids for Start Hearing.
All right. So, that's what I like to hear. Yeah. Do we have a cheer button? No, we actually only have a boo button.
Oh, don't hit it. Don't you touch that button. Yeah, I was out there this past week.
Yes, you were.
And I saw the folks who make it, and I took a tour and saw the whole process. It was amazing.
Yeah, we're really pleased. We manufacture there.
Exactly.
You saw that.
American manufacturing.
American manufacturing in Minnesota since 1967. 71, we moved from one of the other suburbs to Eden Prairie, where you were, and where we have been continuously since that time. And we manufacture, we develop our technology for around the world. We do business in over 100 countries around the world, but U.S. manufacturing.
And the only U.S.
manufacturer. Only U.S. global manufacturer. That's I mean, there's...
So here, you know what? And so, look, we're gonna get into why you're here in a second, but I will just backtrack and talk about why the coalition decided to do a deal with you guys, and that was exactly what you just said, is that it's American made, right? It's right here in the Midwest, and you get these solicitations from, you know, Amplifone and True Hearing and blah blah blah, and they'll tell you this thing like, oh, well, all the chips are made in blah 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 land, right? China or whatever. Well, all the chips for everything is made in China right now. That's why we're trying to get chip manufacturing back here,
right?
But you know, you guys are not foreign owned, and these other companies are foreign owned, and labor's pushing them out. Like, hey, we got a great deal with Amplifone or True Hearing. I'm like, no, we should use American owned companies,
right?
Well, and
thank
so
you for that,
you know, and thank you guys. I mean, you guys are out there, like, going to the
all the health fairs,
the health fairs, the benefit fairs, and things like that. And it is the most popular, I guess, vendor or booth or whatever you'll have, right? Well, no, but at these health fairs, there's lines of people waiting to get their free hearing aid tests, right? Well, hearing tests.
Yeah, and along with that, I mean, we just had Veterans Day last week, and Starkey was recently acknowledged by the Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon group, which is acknowledges those companies who not only supply products to the VA like we do,
right.
but also employs veterans and employs people who are still serving in National Guard, and acknowledges that those people in service to their country who continue to serve, that we support them strongly. And there's over 80 companies in the state of Minnesota, and they're looking really to expand that beyond the yellow ribbon, beyond the state of Minnesota. But I think it's another way of acknowledging the support of veterans and union workers.
It's awesome. Yeah. And so, you know, I think you were on at Cafe Beyonda.
Yeah, right? One of our live shows.
Yeah. And we got such an amazing amount of comments because, and to be blunt with you, I think the three of us are like, wait, what? hearing loss does what? And so we started to dive a little on this stuff, and I'm going to backtrack here for a quick second. Now we offer, through the coalition and through Starkey and Start Hearing, we offer not only hearing aids, we also offer free consultations, right? And if you go to Benefit Fair, you get a free hearing test.
Yeah.
And then also hearing protection.
Right.
Right, which is a really big deal. So maybe you never have to get to the hearing aid part.
And it's not the little twist-in, like, foam 3M things you stick in your ear. These are they're like little earbuds where if you work in construction all day and there's engines or jackhammers or whatever, saws.
Right.
All that noise, the technology allows all that noise to be cut out.
But you can still hear
But if the guy
talk.
Next to you says something, you hear that.
And that's a really important point because that's the number one barrier to people wearing hearing protection, particularly when they're in intermittent noise, because they just say, you know, it's too much of a hassle taking them in and putting them out when you're trying to communicate with people. So you hit the nail on the head. It's the ability to be able to wear them, and at conversational levels that are not damaging to your ears, they'll amplify and make it relatively transparent. But then anytime it hits at a higher level, even like clapping your hands when you wear them, you'll hear them attenuate and drop out really quickly.
So it becomes a safety issue.
For sure.
And so when our members, A, you know, don't, or for those people like back in the day that didn't, right? And I know for sure, right, in the rock and roll days, I didn't wear hearing protection.
Right.
Right. When you went to concerts, did you wear hearing aids?
No.
Phil, when you went to all your Grateful Dead and Fish concerts, you know, did you wear hearing protection?
No.
I don't think he was wearing a shirt or shoes or anything.
You don't remember.
Don't remember anything.
Phil doesn't remember, actually.
Lost my wallet.
Did I go to those concerts? It's all blur.
So let's talk about what the, I guess, in the trades and also police and fire, yeah. right? And people that are in noisy industries.
Yep.
And you mentioned musicians, right?
Yeah.
We have the great Chicago Federation of Musicians.
And Duluth.
Right? And Toledo. And Toledo. And they're all, like, you know, working around loud sounds.
Right.
And so what does that do to one's hearing?
Well, thank you for having me on, first of all.
And thank you for coming. It's important.
For me, it's a passion, lifelong passion. And I'm from a family, a labor family. My dad worked in the paper mill in Green Bay for many years.
Tell us about how you went to school.
I went to school. I was going to be a veterinarian. And I went to school on a scholarship from the paper mill that was provided by the union. One kid from every paper mill got a competitive scholarship, and it paid for my tuition. But more importantly, the best part about it was that I got to work at union scale wages in the summer when I came back, when my buddies were flipping burgers at McDonald's for $1.65. I was making over $8 an hour.
So you're the kid who made it.
I was the kid who made it. Yeah. I got the scholarship. And, you know, the best thing is next week is 43 years since my dad died. He died young. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was exposed to some noxious chemicals. That's a different topic.
Right.
But I got to work with him for 3 summers right before he got diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And so having the experience of getting to work with your dad in the paper mill on a regular day all summer coming back from school was something that I can't put a price tag on. But if it hadn't been for the union supporting that scholarship, I would not have gone to college. I was first in my family to go to college.
Now, what audiologist says that?
Right?
We happen to find the one audiologist.
Union audiologist.
That worked at a paper mill. They got a union scholarship. So good for you. So that's awesome.
I'm indebted.
And you must be proud of that. Like, when I heard that story, I was like, this morning, I'm like, well, obviously we got to talk about that. That's really cool, right? And so imagine, like, you're the one, you get the one scholarship.
I'm the one guy.
A lot of pressure on your shoulders.
Well, I never had a name when I worked in the summers. I was either Don's kid or college. And and finally, after that last summer that I worked, they started calling me by my name because I'd earned their trust.
When you worked at the IBW, what was your name?
My nickname was actually Six Foe because I was 6'4".
That's hilarious.
So not 6'7", right?
Six Foe.
All right, fair enough.
I liked it.
So let's keep going. So now, all right. So tell us about some of the effects of not protecting your hearing.
So you bring up a very important point. I mean, obviously, you guys represent boilermakers, bricklayers, glaziers, police officers, traditional people that you think about being in noisy environments, but musicians, I know that you represent. And the ear does not care if it's melodic or if it's machinery.
Mm-hmm.
All it cares about is the intensity and the duration of the exposure. If, unfortunately, you expose your hearing to high levels, sustained high levels, in an 8-hour day, the ear naturally recovers throughout a day. So one of the cool things when I went to school was I worked for my first mentor was one of the guys that contributed to the damage risk criteria that became OSHA and NIOSH, Dix Ward.
Uh-huh.
And so he was establishing how long was safe exposure. W. Dixon Ward III was one of the primary people who was involved in establishing the damage risk criteria for noise exposure for workers that became OSHA and NIOSH in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the issue is really raising awareness for the fact that anytime you're engaged in a noisy activity, number one, if it's really loud, like a tire exploding, even a single a shot of an AK-47 nearby you can cause permanent damage.
Wow.
But music, concerts, can cause damage if you're repeatedly going to those dead concerts and exposing your ears. And the problem is that once that damage occurs, it's permanent. There's no way to recover it, no way to medically treat it.
Got it.
And so the first thing I would say, you know, remember the old Fram commercials from the 70s where you can pay me now or pay me later?
Oh, yeah.
One of the issues is it would seem strange for a hearing aid manufacturer like Starkey supplying to Start Hearing to develop something that could prevent hearing loss. But we've got plenty of work. And what we want to do, and this in an homage to my dad who worked in a paper mill in the early days where they didn't really have a lot of hearing protection, is I want to raise awareness for stressing that wearing hearing protection is going to pay you late, you know, enable you to prevent hearing loss now,
right,
rather than pay later with hearing aids. And so
it's why I think that you guys should get with Premise, but it's the same concept that we're doing right with the health centers and a company that we're about to launch with Lifeline Screening and things like that, which is to catch things early.
Yes.
Right, so you can have the downstream effect of, you know, not having the issue downstream. And what does that do for you? Obviously, better life, but also for the union and the health and welfare fund, it saves us money.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's a big deal, that money that we can then use for other things.
Yes. So the economic part of saving money on buying hearing aids later versus hearing prevention now, and we have some great deals offered to members in terms of
the devices. Our members get a specific discount.
Yeah. And so the hearing protection division is called Sound Gear. Mm-hmm. And we have products that are either custom to your ear, where you actually they need to have you make an ear impression. And then these can be custom formed to your ear. They're the world's first and still only rechargeable combination device that can be a hearing aid providing up to 30 decibels of amplification, but also protecting against those loud sounds, and can provide a significant NRR, noise reduction rating, benefit for people that wear them and are in and out of intermittent environments. And then importantly, on the Phantom, which is this custom one, there's a significant discount, but you can stream via Bluetooth. So you can wear them
from your phone
and from your TV and other things, and it's really cool. And then we have another one that we've been working with called Shield, working with a lot of police and military people, where it's not custom, but it uses more like a traditional triple flange plug. And in this case, what it does is provides that same protection with different levels of noise reduction rating.
So okay. Now that's on the front end of it. Now let's go and talk about the whys. But let's talk about the whys. Like, why do this, right? Besides, I don't want to lose my hearing. What are the effects of hearing loss?
And untreated hearing loss?
Yeah.
So great conversation. So the issue is once you have and you start losing hearing loss due to noise or aging, and the problem is they compound.
Sure.
Is that you start missing out. You take people who are active socially, love going to social engagements, work parties, etc., and they start pulling back from them because they're missing out on the conversation.
Right.
They don't want to look and sound stupid. You know, they're missing out on and guessing wrong at answers, and everyone's saying, you missed that. But what happens is as they start to pull back from that, there are lots and lots of studies now that have shown that people become isolated, lonely, depressed.
Yep. Yeah.
And there are even data that show, now we have to be careful, I don't want to frame this in too doom and gloom, but if you have untreated hearing loss and you have cardiovascular risk factors, high blood pressure, diabetes, in combination, those can lead to a significant decrease in that socialization, but it can also, and has been shown, to actually accelerate some cognitive decline issues. Now, hearing aids are not going to
cure
dementia or Alzheimer's, but a study that came out a number of years ago called the ACHIEVE study, and I'd be happy to make this available to your members.
That'd be great.
For those that want to read it, show that when they followed people over a three-year time period who had hearing loss, had cardiovascular risk factors, and then either wore amplification, wore hearing aids, or didn't,
right,
the group that wore hearing aids preserved 48% more cognitive function on the tests that they monitored over a three-year time period.
Wow.
Which is powerful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I've gone out to like a loud bar or something like that, and you're standing in a circle of people having a conversation, and if you can't understand what they're saying, you're just kind of nodding your head. And you know.
Well, no, I think it makes sense. And so it's a quality of life issue. Right?
Yeah.
And then you get into arguments with your spouse because you can't hear anything. And, you know, you scream at each other from different rooms. And you got the TV up so loud, and it's like but it's all those type of things. But you're saying, if you take care of your hearing on the front end, you will have less chance of cognitive decline on the back end of your life.
And certainly loneliness, isolation, depression, which are not to be under, you know, those are really significant impacts.
They're absolutely significant, especially in the building trades, right? We have it all the time.
And now there's no stigma because they're basically invisible
right.
in your ear. Some people didn't want to wear them because you're a guy who's like, I don't want to have this giant thing hang off my ear, but no, you can't even see them anymore. I mean, it's so funny. I'll be out at work parties, family parties. I feel like every third person I see has got the invisible hearing aid.
Oh, yeah. Now, union meetings, half the people have got them, for sure.
I just think they're talking to themselves, and it turns out they're on the phone.
They're on the phone,
But so it's so important to do this, and the good news is that all of our members have this benefit where you can call a number.
What is that number?
The number is 833-964-2141. If you're more of a digital person, you want to go look online, you can go to www.starthearing.com/partners/NCL. And that'll have the specific information for NCL members.
It's a good, it's a good benefit for our members. Yeah. It's also right now for open enrollment. You guys came in and split a letter with Voya Financial to talk about the discounts that we provide. So those letters should be hitting the mail today. Pay attention to them.
Right.
You know, or in the next few days, I should say. They may have already hit your mailbox. Pay attention to them. And if you think you have an issue, use it. If you want to go get a test, go get a test. If you want a consultation, get a consultation. There's no downside to
it.
And if you have a hearing loss,
one
thing we know more than ever, don't delay that decision. It's often been in the past, people waited 5 to 7 years, and then that if you have that compounded with cardiovascular risk factors, you lose out that much more. And the hearing aids, as you say today, and thank you for saying that. I mean, I think my generation as a boomer, I'm less stigmatized by what hearing loss and hearing aids look like, and I'm more convinced about what it is that they can do. And we have devices. You can check on that website that I gave you in terms of the hearing aids, in terms of the cosmetically appealing, in terms of now everyone expects that they're going to connect to their Android or their iPhone.
Right.
They're going to. We can even track your physical activity, your daily steps, like a watch would do.
Right.
We can track fall detection. We even have, and we know that hearing loss and falls are comorbid. And you think about, again, in a lot of the trades, this issue of as you get older, you're worried about falling, and you have a hearing loss that compounds it. It can detect a fall, send a text to a family member, caregiver, who then can see where you actually were using the location services on your phone.
That's pretty cool.
If you fell.
Yeah.
And then now we can actually do a test that would tell whether you have a balance, gait, or strength deficiency to then actually work on improving that, because our long-term goal is to prevent falls before they occur. Because
it's like a Fitbit for your ear.
Fitbit for your ear. You say the ear is the new wrist.
Does it measure?
You hear that, Mom? Christmas is coming.
Does it measure your sound exposure, kind of like the iPhone does now?
It will. Yeah. It will tell you that in the social engagement aspect. That's a great comment. It'll say, the levels that you were listening in the last few days are pretty high.
Got it.
And you should do something about that.
So, Phil, is it a situation where you go, "See, honey, I told you talk loud."
Exactly.
Leave me alone.
All right, Dr. Dave, thank you so much for coming in. Say the phone number one more time.
Sure, I sure will. It is 833-964-2141.
All right. We really appreciate you coming all the way down here to talk with us. We appreciate the partnership with Start Hearing and Start Key. It's been wonderful. And kudos to you for keeping it made right here in the United States.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So check this out. The CEO of Ford said, "We are in a really precarious situation." And I was like, "Oh, God, why? Like tariffs or, you know, like what's going on?" And the answer is they don't have enough mechanics. 5,000 is what they need. So now you would think you could scour the United States and go, "Give me 5,000 mechanics." Because we pay benefits, pension, health insurance, and oh, by the way, $120,000 a year.
Right. These are good paying jobs.
And I think that's at straight time. Like, come on, mechanics.
Are they all UAW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so where are they? And the answer is he can't find them. And then I did a little deeper dive into manufacturing. And now the manufacturers are saying, we don't have the bodies to insource, right? We wanted to inshore manufacturing. Nobody will take the jobs. right? And then, of course, Trump is coming out and saying, we need to extend
He's pushing out the visas again
because we don't have the talent here. Like, wait a second. Do we have the talent or don't we have the talent?
Right.
And it certainly is apparent to me that at least when it comes to trades, we don't, right? People are not going into the building trades. So there's talk about, you know, incentives to get kids into the building trades, start building more building trade schools. But, you know, the key is, of course, to work with the unions. And if they, you know, would get off of their anti-union, you know, nonsense and go, hey, how do we partner? You want more mechanics? Great. Let us partner with you to train those mechanics to work on your equipment.
Right.
We would do that in a heartbeat. Correct?
Yeah. We do that right now.
We do it now for us in the private sector here in construction.
The playbook has been written.
Of course.
It's all about the work. I mean, you can't recruit and bring people in if there's no work, right?
That's right.
It's not as bountiful as it once was. It's picking up a little bit now. But if there's a desperate need for mechanics, then that should be something you push hard because that's a great career. You got great benefits. I don't understand why that would be hard to fill if the need is there for the work.
You go to school for a year and change, maybe even less, and you're a mechanic making $120,000, that's a good gig.
It's a great gig.
Right? So if you're a mechanic out there listening, go apply at Ford, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, we got to go. We'll see you next week right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.